Today is the 23rd day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we greet a brand new shiny week out in front of us. And as we begin this week, we're moving into some new territory, some brand new shiny, sparkly territory as we navigate into the book of Judges. And when we hear that name, we can easily think this is a book of judgment, but that's not the purpose of the book of Judges. Let's just look back for a second. We know that the children of Israel, that whole story began with Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob. And we know Jacob's name was eventually changed to be Israel. And then his children became known as what they were, the children of Israel. And we know that those children grew up and proliferated and became the tribes of Israel. While they were in slavery in Egypt, we know that they were freed from slavery in Egypt under the leadership of Moses. And we spent an entire generation in the wilderness with the children of Israel before we were able to finally cross the Jordan River. Like it took from Genesis to Joshua to get there. But we finally crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land, and it was Joshua who led the people across the Jordan. Yesterday, as we ended the book of Joshua, Joshua died. So now, as we turn the page, the land is settled. Not every single corner of the land is settled, but the tribes have been granted their land as an inheritance, and so they have their boundaries, and they've moved in. And Judges is the story of what happens next. And we'll watch. Without this dominant leader, the tribes will begin, as we will be told in Judges quite a few times, that they begin to do whatever seems right in their own eyes. It's like Judges is very, very much trying to make that point. The people are doing whatever seems right in their own eyes. And that will bring challenges. And we get to begin to observe patterns that mark ancient Israel's existence. Judges will take us through the next several centuries beyond Joshua, and we'll find the story of Israel's slow and steady abandonment of God. And over the time, they begin to suffer the repercussions of their choices, as they had been warned by Moses and Joshua both. And then we'll see that in their misery, they will remember. In their suffering, they will remember. In their wilderness, again, they will remember and turn to God and cry out in repentance. And we'll see that God is relentless in coming for them. And he answers them by sending a leader, which is called a judge, to lead the people forward, hence the name Judges. But Judges is also kind of a bridge between two different ways of doing things. And so we're moving from this period of Joshua. The children of Israel had been led by Moses and Joshua a certain way. Like they were prophetic voices they heard from God. And we will move through this time of the Judges, which will take several centuries, and we will end Judges with the children of Israel wanting a king, which escorts us into the time of the monarchy, when Israel had a king, and we'll get to know some of those kings. We'll get to know all of them briefly, but some of them we'll get to know very well as we continue our journey forward. So what we're about to read as we embark on the journey of Judges, it'll be a bit different than what we've been reading. It's not going to be all pretty, but it will give us plenty to consider in our own lives, because we'll see it's these little things that pull Israel in little bits of directions, moving in certain sorts of directions that they keep moving in that are unhealthy. And we still do that today. And since Judges is going to take us through several centuries, so really fast through time, we get to look at where the pathways lead. And so with that, we begin. We'll read from the Christian Standard Bible this week, Judges chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 9. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites inquired of the Lord, "Who will be the first to fight for us against the Canaanites?" The Lord answered, "Judah is to go. I have handed the land over to him." Judah said to his brother Simeon, "Come with me to my allotted territory and let's fight against the Canaanites. I will also go with you to your allotted territory." So Simeon went with them. When Judah attacked, the Lord handed the Canaanites and Perizzites over to them. They struck down 10,000 men in Bezek, and they found Adoni-Bezek in Bezek, fought against him and struck down the Canaanites and Perizzites. When Adoni-Bezek fled, they pursued him, caught him, and cut off his thumbs and big toes. Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off, used to pick up scraps under my table. God has repaid me for what I have done." They brought him to Jerusalem and he died there. The men of Judah fought against Jerusalem, captured it, put it to the sword, and set the city on fire. Afterward, the men of Judah marched down to fight against the Canaanites who were living in the hill country, the Negev, and the Judean foothills. Judah also marched against the Canaanites who were living in Hebron. Hebron was formerly named Kiriath Arba. They struck down Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From there they marched against the residents of Debir. Debir was formerly named Kiriath Sefer. Caleb said, "Whoever attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer, I will give my daughter Aksa to him as a wife." So Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's youngest brother, captured it, and Caleb gave his daughter Aksa to him as a wife. When she arrived, she persuaded Othniel to ask her father for a field. As she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What do you want?" She answered him, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me springs also." So Caleb gave her both the upper and lower springs. The descendants of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, had gone up with the men of Judah from the city of Palms to the wilderness of Judah, which was in the Negev of Arad. They went to live among the people. Judah went with his brother Simeon, struck the Canaanites who were living in Zephath, and completely destroyed the town. So they named the town Hormah. Judah captured Gaza and its territory, Ashkelon and its territory, and Ekron and its territory. The Lord was with Judah and enabled them to take possession of the hill country, but they could not drive out the people who were living in the plain because those people had iron chariots. Judah gave Hebron to Caleb, just as Moses had promised. Then Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak who lived there. At the same time, the Benjaminites did not drive out the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem. The Jebusites have lived among the Benjaminites in Jerusalem to this day. The house of Joseph also attacked Bethel, and the Lord was with them. They sent spies to Bethel. The town was formerly named Luz. The spies saw a man coming out of the town and said to him, "Please show us how to get into the town, and we will show you kindness." When he showed them the way into the town, they put the town to the sword but released the man and his entire family. Then the man went to the land of the Hittites, built the town, and named it Luz. That is its name still today. At that time, Manasseh failed to take possession of Beth-Shean and Taanach and their surrounding villages, or the residents of Dor, Ibleam, and Megiddo and their surrounding villages. The Canaanites were determined to stay in this land. When Israel became stronger, they made the Canaanites serve as forced labor but never drove them out completely. At that time, Ephraim failed to drive out the Canaanites who were living in Gezer. So the Canaanites have lived among them in Gezer. Zebulun failed to drive out the residents of Kitron, or the residents of Nahalol. So the Canaanites lived among them and served as forced labor. Asher failed to drive out the residents of Akko, or of Sidon, or Alab, Akzib, Helba, Afik, or Rahab. The Asherites lived among the Canaanites, who were living in the land, because they failed to drive them out. Naphtali did not drive out the residents of Bet Shemesh, or the residents of Bet Anath. They lived among the Canaanites who were living in the land, but the residents of Bet Shemesh and Bet Anath served as their forced labor. The Amorites forced the Danites into the hill country and did not allow them to go down into the valley. The Amorites were determined to stay in Har Haraz, Aijalon, and Shealbim. When the house of Joseph got the upper hand, the Amorites were made to serve as forced labor. The territory of the Amorites extended from Scorpion's Ascent, that is, from Selah, upward. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you out of Egypt and led you into the land I had promised to your ancestors. I also said, I will never break my covenant with you. You are not to make a covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You are to tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed me. What have you done? Therefore I now say, I will not drive out these people before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a trap for you. When the angel of the Lord had spoken these words to all the Israelites, the people wept loudly. So they named that place Bochim and offered sacrifices there to the Lord. Previously, when Joshua sent the people away, the Israelites had gone to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people worshiped the Lord throughout Joshua's lifetime and during the lifetimes of the elders who outlived Joshua. They had seen all the Lord's great works he had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the territory of his inheritance, in Timnath-Herez, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. Luke 21:29-22:13. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put out leaves, you can see for yourselves and recognize that summer is already near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be on your guard, so that your minds are not dulled from carousing, drunkenness, and worries of life, or that day will come on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come on all who live on the face of the whole earth. But be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. During the day, he was teaching in the temple, but in the evening he would go out and spend the night on what is called the Mount of Olives. Then all the people would come early in the morning to hear him in the temple. The festival of unleavened bread, which is called Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put him to death because they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. He went away and discussed with the chief priests and temple police how he could hand him over to them. They were glad and agreed to give him silver. So he accepted the offer and started looking for a good opportunity to betray him to them when the crowd was not present. And the day of unleavened bread came, and the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. "Listen," he said to them, "when you've entered the city, a man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters. Tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished room upstairs. Make the preparations there." So they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Psalm 90 and 91, Book 4. Eternal God and mortal man, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our refuge in every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. You return mankind to the dust, saying, "Return, descendants of Adam. For in your sight, 1,000 years are like yesterday that passes by, like a few hours of the night. You end their lives. They sleep. They are like grass that grows in the morning. In the morning, it sprouts and grows. By evening, it withers and dries up. For we are consumed by your anger. We are terrified by your wrath. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days ebb away under your wrath. We end our years like a sigh. Our lives last 70 years, or if we are strong, 80 years. Even the best of them are struggle and sorrow. Indeed, they pass quickly and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger? Your wrath matches the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. Lord, how long? Turn and have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love so that we may shout with joy and be glad all our days. Make us rejoice for as many days as you have humbled us, for as many years as we have seen adversity. Let your work be seen by your servants and your splendor by their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be on us. Establish for us the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say concerning the Lord, who is my refuge and fortress, my God in whom I trust, he himself will rescue you from the bird trap, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. You will only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no harm will come to you. No plague will come near your tent. For he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. because he has his heart set on me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. Proverbs 13, 24 and 25. The one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves him disciplines him diligently. A righteous person eats until he is satisfied, but the stomach of the wicked is empty. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for bringing us safely and successfully into a brand new week. And that this brand new week has brought us brand new territory in the scriptures as we've begun the book of Judges. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will lead and guide us as we take steps forward every day, that we might hear from your word and apply it to our lives, and that we might center ourselves in you, and that we might pause and allow your leadership in our lives instead of just running off in our own directions, doing what is right in our own eyes, as we will learn from the book of Judges. Come, Holy Spirit, into this week, lead and guide us that we might reveal you. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Hello, DAB family. This is TAC from Atlanta, son of Pray Without Ceasing. Before I get into Wild Caught, first off, thank you, everyone, for your prayers over my sister and my nephew, Case Jacob, who's been having trouble sleeping. To my understanding, things are a little better, but I'll let Pray Without Ceasing call in and give you guys an update. But yeah, I'm calling today on April 17th for someone who called in talking about a friend that he's really close to and how he sent him a letter, you know, just informing him that his lifestyle wasn't righteous. I know this seems extremely difficult, but I'll tell you guys another family story. One time did the exact same thing, you know, talking to one of my sisters, and you know, I just let her know, I'm like, yo, like, I don't think this is right, whatever the case is, you know, I don't think this is righteous. She similarly, you know, lashed out in anger, but typically from what I found, that when people lash out in anger, you know, not to take it personal, you know, it's not always about, it's never about you. All right. Months later, I can tell you right now that exact same sister is walking the walk alongside all of us. And we laugh now about that situation just because, you know, we both know it was anger. Right. And we lash out sometimes. We make mistakes. And the beautiful part is that when your friend decides to do the walk, the first person he's going to think about is you.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Daniel of Out of the Lion's Den in Orlando, Florida. It's April 17th. It's a rainy morning here, and I'm calling to pray for a couple of our family. The lady, Susie from Colorado, who runs the orphanage in Haiti, asked for prayer for Johnny Love. Oh, Susie, your request just breaks my heart. You're working there under such harsh conditions and not access to food and medicine and the hostility of the warlords and the gangs. Oh, Susie, may God have mercy. May he deliver this young boy back into your home, that he be healthy again, that they do all that medicine can do, but mostly what Jesus Christ can do, which is to heal and to restore and to give that little boy the advantages of life that he hasn't had before. May he come back to you safe and healthy, I pray, in Jesus' name. And Jason, also one of Greater Phoenix area, I wanted to pray for you and your friend. I was that guy, like your friend. I kicked my best friend, who I'd been in the military with, out of my house and told him I never wanted to talk to him again. If all he could keep doing was telling me about Jesus. But praise God, he never stopped praying for me. He kept coming around. And when I finally hit my bottom, he took me to his church, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that was 40 years ago. And I just thank God for him. And I thank God for you. Be faithful to your friend. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I want to pray for this man's friend who was in an automobile accident and didn't have seatbelts and is in the hospital. I wanted to pray for that precious man. I want to pray for Sandra, for her 19-year-old son who was in college and was having some challenges with the acne. I want to pray for him. I want to pray for Deanne from Washington, who was struggling with depression and alcoholism. Her friend in Washington was Gary, who's struggling with depression and alcoholism. I want to also pray for Hernia, who had a baby, and she's going through some challenges. She's a 47-year-old that had a baby, and she's going through some challenges. I wanted to pray for her. Gracious Father, I just praise you today, and I just ask you the names I called out, Father. You know everything about them. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we know you as a healer. We know you as a deliverer. Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus of that depression and that alcoholism. Anyone who's going through it right now, Lord, we ask you to rebuke that spider. We ask you to kill that spider and rebuke the cobweb out of that alive in the name of Jesus. Only you can deal with it that they would hate the taste, Father. You have your way in the name of Jesus. You have the healing, Lord, of that young man with the acne, Father. Oh, God, we don't know what it is that caused it, but you know. We just ask you to help the doctor to find the answer, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to touch the healing in my 47-year-old sister and the challenges that she's going through. We just ask you to open doors that no man can close. Father, you are God that can do anything. We just ask you to have your way. And we just thank you, Lord, for you blessing your people. We just thank you for blessing.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Becky in Orlando. And this is a message for Eyes of a Dove. I'm actually fixing my eyes right now because your prayer request made me cry in happiness because we serve such an amazing God. I was in your position 15 years ago, and I was a hardcore atheist at the time, and I had gotten that breast cancer diagnosis, and the day before my surgery, we had gone to church, and I had asked my husband if it would be okay for us to go down with the pastors and have them pray over me the day of my surgery the following day, and so they laid their hands on me, and I was broken. I said to God, I have no idea what the pastors and my husband was praying, but I said to God, I said, I'm so sorry, God, that I've denied you all this time, and if you do exist, I really need you now. And I said, I don't want to leave my family. I was a newlywed, and I had stepchildren, and I was just so excited to be a stepmom. And so anyway, I didn't feel any different. And then the next morning, I went in for my operation, and the radiologist was going to do another mammogram on me, and so he did a mammogram, then he did another mammogram, and he was going to be putting a pin into my breast to show where the tumor was, and then he says, Ms. Sanchez, I can't recommend you for surgery this morning. There's nothing there. And I know that was divine healing. And it took a whole lot of crazy stuff happening in a period of year and a half to bring me to my knees, for me to go as an atheist to be able to surrender my heart and my soul to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I am so thankful all those things happened, because otherwise I probably would have been still living as an atheist, not believing in God. But I am so, so thankful that happened, and I'm praying